This is a Pinball News production.
All right, thanks. My name's John Okowski. A lot of people on the internet know me as Johnny O. I play in a couple of leagues here in the Bay Area. The Bay Area Pinball Association. There's Walter over there as another member. And I play in the East Bay Pinball League, and Dylan over there, he's a member of that. I've run about a half dozen tournaments this past year. I'm running the tournament over here at the on the main hall. And I'm not a pro. In fact, some people would argue that I'm not even really that good. But fortunately, I know really good players, and I've learned a lot from them, and I understand what makes them good. And so we're going to share some of that with you. So let's go to that. Okay, so here's the basic overview we're going to talk about. The really good players, the top tournament players, they have these elements in common. They have technical skills. They know how to control the ball with the flippers. They use different moves to control the ball. They know the rules and the strategy of the game. So like on Attack from Mars, they know what to shoot for and when to get the most points and risk take the least number of risks. They're consistent. I can be very streaky at times. I have like a good game, and then I have five terrible games. And it's like, sometimes I like to think, you know, like, oh man, if I could just get that good game when I need it, man, I could do great. But so that's part of the element of consistency, and that mainly comes with just a ton of practice. And then the last piece is competitive experience. If you go to a tournament like the one we're holding here, you can't expect to win the first time out. You know, if you're looking at like the top prize money, you're thinking, is it worth it to enter the tournament because I might win that prize money? I wouldn't look at it that way. I would look at it as a learning experience. You know, go in there, watch the other really good players play, see what they do, see what they don't do. And you'll get better by doing that. So, first thing I'm going to talk about is some flipper skills. So this is the you have a little trouble seeing. First thing is the obvious thing. Don't flip both flippers. The reason there's a few reasons why you don't want to do this. One, you're actually creating a larger gap between the flippers when you flip both of them. And then the second reason is because it's sort of like a boxer punching with both fists at the same time. If you do that, you don't have the other fist to react after you've thrown that first punch. You can't counterpunch, you can't do anything. So if the first flipper, if you catch a piece of the ball coming off, say, that right flipper, and you flip both flippers, you can't get a piece of it with the left flipper. So let's go to the next slide and we'll see why that's important. So first move we're going to talk about here is called a slap save. And it's kind of difficult to demonstrate live, but I think I have a video later showing it. But a slap save is when the ball is kind of heading, it's heading for the middle, but it's not heading straight down the middle. And but you're not going to be able to hit it. So one way you can deal with that is you can slap the game on the side of this side of the game, and almost simultaneously hit the flipper, and then the ball will hit the edge of the flipper and go this way, and then immediately hit the other flipper and send it back up the play field. So that's a slap save, and that's another reason you don't want to flip both flippers at the same time. Sometimes you see people do a slap save and it looks like they're hitting them at the same time, but it's just a very quick tap tap. Trapping is when you hold the ball on the flipper. And I think probably, you know, show of hands, everybody knows what this is, right? Everybody knows what a trap is. There's a couple things, especially when you're starting out, you're trying to get better. One is, a good rule of thumb is bring the ball to a complete stop. Now, some people don't like to do this because it slows down the action, and, you know, they like to keep it fast and keep flipping and stuff like that. But if you bring the ball to a complete stop, you can think about your next shot. You have complete control of the ball. It can't drain. And you can aim for your next shot. So you can take an aim shot, and then you can look on the flipper, you know, where did I hit the ball? And did I make the shot? Was it left? Was it right? And then you can adjust on the next time. So trapping is a great way to learn the play field, to learn the shots on the game. Bounce pass. How many are familiar with the bounce pass? Okay, so a lot fewer people than trapping. A bounce pass is when you don't flip. The ball comes down towards the flipper, and you don't flip. You just let it bounce, and it bounces over the other flipper. It's happy. And this does two things. One, it puts the ball in the other flipper, which is maybe where you want it, maybe not. But it puts the ball in the other flipper, but the rubber on that flipper is going to absorb some of the energy of the ball. It's going to slow it down. So you're going to be able to keep the ball under control. In some circumstances, when it bounces over, you might be able to then trap it. So then you can take your next shot. So I think next we're going to see a video of a bounce pass. Okay. So this is a slow-mo video of a bounce pass. See? Just let it bounce over. And then he catches it. It's like, oh, it's going to fall off. No, it's not. So that's very simple technique. Like some of you, I would say, go back in the hall, and if you get one thing out of this, try doing this move. Now, some older games are not as friendly with this. Newer games are generally very friendly. Some older games, if they have give in the flipper, you go to a bounce pass, and it just goes, boom, drain. And that's no fun. So, that's part of learning the game, learning what you can get away with. You know, actually, let's switch to this. Can I get a volunteer? Yeah, you? Come on up. And what's your name?
Anthony.
Okay, where are you from?
Jacksonville.
Oh, cool. All right. So you're in the neighborhood here. Okay. So what I'm gonna do is a bounce pass, and then you can catch it on the other side. Just let it bounce over, and then you can catch it. Does that sound good? All right. So go ahead and start up a game. All right. Okay. You ready? Oh, that was good. Now, that was actually kind of my fault there. Whoopsie. Oh, wait. that illustrates something that can go wrong with a bounce pass is if it hits this metal piece, it's got to hit the rubber. If it hits the metal piece, it goes poof, right down the drain. So you don't want to hit that rubber part. Let's see if I can aim this right. Yeah, there you go. No, that's good. Try it one more time. So we can get this. Yeah, okay. Well, you still caught it. All right. Thanks, Anthony. Hey, let me give you something for your efforts here. Here's a pass to Playland, not at the beach, in El Cerrito. Even if your seminar sucks, you can give away free stuff and everybody's happy. All right, let's switch back over. All right, so next slide, this is a post pass. This is a little more complicated. With a post pass, what we're doing is you've got the ball trapped on the right flipper here, and you do a quick, very quick flip. And what I've done there is I've shown the path that the ball will travel. So basically what's happening is you're going off the back of the slingshot, and then it goes off the back of the lane guide, and then it goes off the flipper, and it bounces over to the other side. And it looks kind of complicated, but it's really, when you do it, it's very straightforward, and it looks pretty cool. So let's go to the next one. I think we have another video where we'll see this. Yeah. There we go. Cool. So the thing about a post pass is that you can't do a post pass on all games. And in fact, this game that I did this, I just had this picture, but this is not a good game to do a post pass on. This is a hocus pocus. A lot of older EMs, very difficult to do. This game, Attack from Mars, very difficult to do. And what makes the difference is where the sling post is. In Attack from Mars, the sling post is way back. And so it makes it very difficult to do a post pass. So unfortunately, we can't demonstrate it on this game. But games like Adam's Family, Tron, Iron Man, I can't think of actually any late model Sterns that you can't do it on. Walter, do you know of any late model Sterns? Yeah, you can do it on just about any late model Stern. A lot of 90s Williams games. I'm sorry? Wheel of Fortune would be pretty tough to do, yeah, because it has that funky middle part. No, well, Walter's saying you can do it. Yeah, okay. And so there's a few examples of games where it gets increasingly more difficult to do a post-pass. All right, let's go to the next one. I think we have a video. Yeah, okay. And so this is the one you already saw. Let's go ahead and play that one again. This is a backhand. And with a backhand, basically, you're shooting at stuff on the same side of the play field, or kind of more to that side. So a shot that you would normally take with the opposite flipper, you can make with the flipper that's closer to the target. And there's a couple of nice things about backhands is sometimes they're safer. Like on Adam's Family, when you if you can get the ball on the left flipper and backhand the electric chair, that's safer than shooting it across the field. The gap, you know, the target you're shooting at is like this. So if you're shooting at it at an angle, it's tougher to get in as opposed to shooting it straight on. Also, when the ball goes kind of haywire, it tends to have a little less energy because the backhand doesn't have as much power as a forehand, so the ball doesn't go totally out of control. Let's see, can we do a backhand on this one? Yeah. Does somebody want to try to do a backhand? Come on up. He's like, I want to get free stuff. What's that?
That was all the free stuff you had.
No, I got tons of free stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
So I would say on the right. And then maybe try to, you can either backhand the scoop or you can try to backhand the ramp. You can backhand the ramp, right? Yeah. Yeah. So it would be just a quick flip. Yeah. Well, you got the shot. So what we saw there was he missed the shot, but because the shot had a little less power, it was probably he was able to get a little more control over it. So, well, that was a post pass. Nice. I got to give him two free things, huh?
Well, it doesn't want to let go like it did in your video there.
Well, you're flipping a little bit early, so I try just flipping a little bit later.
Okay.
No, a little bit later. A little bit later.
Okay, I'm going too early.
Yeah, too early. Yeah, you're getting there. You're just going to work on your aim a little bit. There, okay. Yeah, you're getting close.
Okay, so you're saying just let it roll and then hit it. Your picture up there had it hitting it off the...
Oh, no, this is a backhand. Oh, I see what you're saying. Because the way Neil did it. Yeah,
house.
Right.
Okay.
On that one, we're getting the ball here. Yeah.
Oh, dear,
okay.
Confused.
That was just the ball search because we didn't hit anything. Yeah, so... Yeah, okay, so what he was saying is that the way Neil did is Neil set it up with that opening shot. He kind of kicked it up so it would roll out, and then he flipped it.
Right.
Don't do that.
That's what I was looking at.
There you go. Well, so. Try it one more time. Get it in that scoop. Come on. There it is. All right. All right. All right. Let's let that guy drive. Okay. Let's switch back. What's that? Oh, yeah, I forgot to give you something here. So here we have this survey. All right. Should I give him one or two? He did do the post-pass. All right, $15 pass to Playland. Okay, what's next? Drop catch. Drop catch is like basically it's kind of an easy concept to understand. Basically, when the ball meets the flipper, instead of flipping it, you have the flipper up already, and as the ball hits the flipper, you drop the flipper. And so it's kind of like in baseball, you don't just stick your hand out and then whack, ouch. You catch it like that, right? So that's kind of the idea behind a drop catch, is kind of soft catching it. And what will happen is the ball, if you do it right, the ball will just kind of stop on the flipper, and then you can take a shot. And it's actually, this is another thing you might want to try in the main room. It's not a move that's too difficult to learn. You'll be able to do it. But to really keep control of the ball after you do it, and not screw up after you do it, that's what takes a lot of practice. So the idea is once you kind of get the basic mechanics of a drop catch down, then you want to add thinking about your next shot. Because the ball, when you do this, a lot of times you will have to take a shot. You can't trap after this. So you have to take some shot. Think about what shot you want to take. So I think we have a video of the drop catch. So let's go to the next one. Yeah, okay. So here's the ball is coming down, and then he drops the flipper. And he performed that one in such a way that he was able to catch it afterwards. Okay. Does anybody want to try a drop catch? Drop catch? It's actually, drop catch is kind of hard to set up because the ball has to have quite a bit of speed in order to do a drop catch. So it's like if I just drop the ball, probably won't be fast enough. So let's not do that one. A live catch. Live catch is kind of similar to a drop catch, but kind of the opposite. I like to do the live catch a lot, and the problem is I screw it up a lot. In a live catch, basically the ball is coming down, and you time a flip so that when the ball comes down, you flip just as the ball gets to the flipper. And if you do this right, the ball will just stop. It just like it goes dead, and it's really cool. And then it's in a cradle, and then you can aim for your next shot and all of that. So it's somewhat game specific. Because, again, like games like some EMs that have that kind of bounce in the flippers, very difficult to do a live catch because the ball is just going to bounce. It's also the rubber on the game makes a difference. If the rubber is really bouncy, it's very difficult to do a live catch. So let's go to the next one. We'll see a video of a live catch. There. And then he catches it. So who wants to try a live catch? All right, come on up. So when it comes down, this is me. See, it's kind of like that.
Want to get it right when it.
Right, just two, and it might take you a few tries. That was close. Yeah, so that's what I normally do. That was good. That was good. You know, now it's like that was a little, it was a little rough, but he still got control of it. So who cares? You know, that's the main thing is you want to get control of it. You want to do one more? Oh, almost. Yeah, that's what I do. All right. Thank you. There we go. All right. Safe shots. This is getting a little more lectury, sorry. But safe shot. So a safe shot is basically a shot that when you shoot it, when whatever you wanted to happen happens, you still have control of the ball. So AFM is a great example. If you shoot the saucer, that's not a safe shot because the ball is out of control at that point. You don't know where it's going to go. But the saucer is, you want to shoot the saucer because there's lots of points there, right? But if you shoot this ramp here, it's going to go up this ramp, it's going to come down, and then it's going to go to the flipper over here. And then you can take your next shot. So that'd be an example of a safe shot. So in a game like Attack from Mars, you want to, as much as you can, you want to save those saucer shots for multi-ball. Get into a multi-ball, then go for saucers. Medieval Madness, another game where you get into a multi-ball and then you can just wail on the castle. Like say for example you start a crappy multi-ball. You're probably not familiar with all the rules of Medieval Madness, but you know ideally you want to stack a bunch of multi-balls and then start it. But let's say the ball happens to accidentally start it and now you've got a crappy multi-ball. You might want to go for castles instead. And just wail on that center castle shot because now you have two or three balls, and if you lose two of them, that's okay. And then when you get back down to one ball play, you go back to your earlier game plan, which is the safe shots. Nudging. In pinball, there's two different ways you can nudge. There's kind of the side to side nudging. But no, you don't nudge it. I nudge it. All right, so there's kind of the side-to-side nudging, and then there's the forward nudging. And when do you use each one? So we already talked about one example. When you're trying to do a slap save, that's an example of a side nudge. And whoops, I'm not in the game. That's an example of a side nudge. And launches the ball when you hit both flippers. So when you're trying to save balls that are going down the middle, you want to do... Sorry. When you're trying to save balls going down the middle, that's generally when you want to use the side-to-side nudging. When you want to forward nudge is if the ball is heading for the out lanes. If the ball's going this way, what a lot of people do is the ball goes in here and then it starts bouncing around, and that's when they start nudging. Or it's already in the out lane, and then they start banging on the machine. That doesn't do anything. When the ball is heading that way, you want to get it out of there. This whole area around the out lanes is just danger. So especially as beginners, you just want to get it out of there. You want to, when it comes down, am I blocking the camera? Yeah. When it comes down, you want a forward nudge off the top of the sling post or off the post rubber and just bounce it out of there. Get it out of there. Walter, do you want to help demonstrate?
Walter.
Some nudging. Walter is a great nudger, and just start playing, and we'll probably encounter some nudging situations here. I also have a video of this. So there he did. He started to do a slide save. There, there's a forward nudge. You see that?
Nice
little cat. Whoop! The heck. Oh man! You know, the PPM, they always give me these cheap games to use in the demonstrations. And, yeah, when the ball's stuck, you might nudge too. Now Walter also did another thing, which was he did kind of a. Oh, it was a nice slap save, yeah.
Now everybody's excited.
Yeah. There was a slap save from right to left. Now, another thing that Walter did was when the ball came down the in lane, he had the flipper up, and I don't know if we can set that up, but and what he did is he gave it a forward nudge to give it a little push over to this flipper. That's another way you can use forward nudging. Yeah. Oh, did he? Okay. I wasn't watching. All right. Yeah. Walter, come on. Come get your prize here. You already got one. I'll just put it in my pocket. No. Yes.
Okay, say the ball's going in between on the outline. It's coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of balanced between the two. Now, usually if you hit it on the opposite side, give it a nudge, it goes forward. I found out that my experience being, well, instead of hitting on the, since it's on the right-hand side, you hit on the left, to go down the left side.
I try not to let the ball get there, first of all. But then a lot of times I'll push it up.
Yeah.
Forward. Not left or right, just push it up.
Push out.
Yeah.
There's always a rubber, like on the right side. There's always a rubber above the outline that goes like this. So if you nudge up, it's going to go up and out.
But it takes balance between the two, it can go out.
There's a little piece of rubber there, you can give it a forward.
Yeah. The plumb bob, the tilt bob is like right about here in the game. And so when you do side-to-side nudging, it's going to more directly impact the tilt bob. It's going to get it moving more. So side-to-side nudging is more dangerous than forward nudging. You can So on some games, you can be pretty mean going forward, but then side to side, got to be a lot more careful. Well, a slap save is kind of a it's a flipper skill slash nudge. So it's a nudge first, nudge with the flipper button, and then immediately go to the other flipper. So it's kind of a combination of both. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Oh, look, there's Walter again. So here's a video of some more nudging. We'll go through this real quick. Okay. So here's Walter playing in our league finals. There he did a left-to-right slap save. Okay, here's Andre, and I think he's going to do some forward nudging here. Now, it's hard to see, but you see his right hand? He's doing very subtle nudges. You don't have to hit it hard to get it out of those out lanes a lot of the time. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But now Walter, like, anticipated. Yeah, there he pushes it out of the out lanes. See, so he doesn't care. Like, he's not trying to get it to go, like, in the in lane. He's not trying to, like, subtly try to get it in the in lane. He just wants it out of there. Get it out of that area entirely. There was a kind of a slap save. And one of the things about what they're doing is, you know, when you're nudging, it's like the goal isn't to like beat up the machine. The goal is to save the ball, and especially the goal is to do it without generating tilt warnings, right? Because you know, the more tilt warnings you generate, the closer you are to a tilt. And so when you actually need to do some sort of dramatic nudge or save or whatever, you don't have any warnings left, and you're going to lose your bonus or whatever. So the first thing is, of course, learn to forward nudge, kind of get that down. And then as you start learning it more, then start trying to dial back the amount of force you're using to do it effectively. And if you own home games, one way to do this is set your tilt bob nice and loose at the start and nudge away, and then just gradually tighten it up. And you'll see it gets tighter and tighter. In these tournaments, we set the tilt bob super tight because basically you really want to penalize players. If they miss a shot that they should have made, We want to have them at least generate a warning, you know, so that they can't just throw around the machine. Okay, rules and strategy. I talked about this a little bit, but basically the way I think of rules is when you play this game, there's probably some optimal shots. There's an optimal shot pattern you could take that would give you the most points with the least number of shots. The less shots you need to take, the less times the ball can potentially be out of control, and the less time you have to get the ball back under control or nudge or do whatever to do it. So, and that's basically what the rules are. The good news is there's some great resources to really learn the rules on these games thoroughly because people have documented them. There's that site pinballnews.some. Anybody heard of that one? Martin here is the editor for Pinball News, and for like the last, I don't know, 10, 12 Stern, well, for, I'm thinking of rule sheets, though. I don't know, you've done at least 10 of them, though. But he's basically broken down the whole game with pictures and all of this stuff. So if you go to pinballnews.com, you can read all these fantastic rule sheets that tell you exactly what to shoot for, what's worth it and what's not. And you can develop a strategy. And then it's like, okay, this time I play, I'm going to go for this. I'm going to see if I can do this. Now, strategy is all great and everything, but it also has to be integrated into the way the game's playing. So probably a lot of you know, especially your own games, you know, one AFM doesn't play like another. They can play very differently. And so what works, strategy that might work on one AFM may be very difficult to implement on another. I'll just give you a black and white example. If this game doesn't have the tilt set, like sometimes I've played AFMs on location, doesn't have the tilt set, I'm going to shoot the saucer. Because if the ball goes straight down the middle, I'm just going to slide the game right over. Because I know I'm not going to get a tilt warning, and I'm going to save it, and the saucers are worth a lot. So, but in a tournament game, I'm definitely not going to do that, because I'll pay for it very quickly with a center drain or side drain, or it'll go into the slings, it'll be out of control. The rules card sucks, and is basically like, you know, anything after like 1985, the games got too complicated to be on this little card. So you got to go to sites like Martin's here, or Another one is pinball.org. They have all the, like, I don't know, 80 some odd rule sheets for popular games. And a guy named Bowen Cairns, who's been a multi-world champion, he's been making these really awesome tutorial videos where he takes you through the whole game. And he's done about 20 of those so far. And you can get to those if you go to tiltwarning.com or just search for PAPA, the Professional Amateur Pinball Association. You'll find their blog where they post all their videos. And then the last thing is, watch videos. Ask other players. One of the great things about when you go to a tournament or if you join a league is you talk with other players and say, well, what do you shoot for, or why did you shoot for that? And they'll tell you, you know, like, oh, yeah, I go for this or I go for that. You know, I was playing in the EBPL. I was playing with Chris on Junkyard. And after you finish multi-ball, I think there's a crane hurry-up. And you shoot this, and then every shot to the crane is worth, like, it's a two-ball multi-ball, and every shot to the crane is worth, like, 50,000 or something, which is, like, nothing in that game. It's worthless. So what I do when I get that crane hurry-up is I go for the ball recyclers, which are on the side, because it's a very drainy game. And I got two balls, so I try to get those recyclers lit before I lose a ball, and then I go back into my single-ball strategy. So talk with other players. Just ask them, like, wow, you got that, you know, 2 billion score on Twilight Zone. How'd you do that? That's great. Let's go to the next one. Consistency. This is kind of a duh slide as well. It just comes with practice. You know, if you play once a week like I have lately, then you don't have it. It just takes playing. And I would say, one mistake people make when they play a lot is they play their own game. They play it to death. They know the shots inside and out. Then they come to a show like this. They play the same game on the show floor, and they can't do anything. So it's not just being consistent on one game. It's getting out there, playing different games, and trying to kind of being able to get that feel and get in the zone no matter what game you're playing. The last thing is, one thing I do to help with consistency is when I go for a shot, when the ball's coming down the in lane and I'm going to take a shot, I try to take a mental snapshot of where on the flipper I fired the ball. And if possible, especially if it's a shot I need to make a bunch of times, I try to get the ball back there as soon as I can and then shoot it in that same spot. Or thereabouts, if I made it, you know. But try to dial in where on the flipper I shot the ball. Experience, again, going back to the tournament thing. You know, when you go to a tournament or you're even in a league, you get nervous when you play when you're in a competitive situation, and so you have to do that. You know, some people have to do it more than others. Some people are naturals; they just walk in, they don't get nerves, whatever. But you need to develop a little bit of mental toughness, because when you're playing at home and everything's calm and cool and great and you're having a beer and all that, it's fine. But then when you're under pressure, you have to perform. So that's, you develop that just through experience. Join a league. When you play in a tournament, if you play in a tournament, make sure you understand the rules. I can't emphasize that enough. I have, like, today alone running the tournament, I've had at least a dozen people come up to me. They play three or four games, and then they go, now, how does the tournament work? And it's like, okay, well, it's, you know, here's how it works. And then they realize they just wasted that qualifying entry because they didn't think before they started playing. Kind of know your limits. This tournament over here, the Open and the Classics, the way it works is you play four games on an entry, and it's $10 for an entry. And if you want, if you didn't do so good, you can go and pay $10 and get another entry, try to better your score. And you keep trying to do this until the end of qualifiers, and then if you're in the top 16, you advance. Okay, but for a lot of people, especially if your skill level's it's not that great, you might have to throw a lot of money into the tournament in order to qualify. And so if you go into a tournament, you might say, all right, I'm going to spend $50 on entries, and then that's it. Whatever happens, happens, and then just set that limit, and then be willing to just walk away. Qualifiers in a pinball tournament are typically about playing the machine, okay? You want to do well on this machine. But when you get to finals, it's almost always a head-to-head format. Now you're playing against a player. You don't have to beat the machine. You don't have to get, you know, whatever, destroy the unit, rule the universe, or anything like that. You just need to beat the other guy, okay? And so part of that is thinking, okay, what games is this guy good at? You know, what games does he struggle with? Or what types of games? You know, he's not so good at EMs. He's better at moderns. Okay, so when it's your chance to pick a machine, you pick an EM. It's things like that. I think we're almost there. Yeah, okay, go play. A lot of this stuff, when you first try it, were you asking a question?
Oh. Oh, is it the tournaments, though? Sometimes playing the actual game and go through the modes isn't the best strategy always.
That's a very good point. Very good point.
The same shot over and over versus playing the actual game through.
Yes. Yeah, very good point. Like on a game like Twilight Zone, there's a couple different ways you can play it. You can play for the doors to get all the door modes, and which eventually leads to the wizard mode, Lost in the Zone. And when I'm playing casually, yeah, that's what I generally like to do. But if you're playing in a tournament situation, it might make more sense to go for the multi-balls, like Powerball Mania or the regular three-ball multi-ball, and get points via jackpots and things like that. So that's a very good point. So when you start doing this, you start trying some of this stuff, you're going to lose. You're gonna have some bad games. When you start trying, if you go out there and you start doing some bounce passes, I mean, we saw it with some of the demonstration here. You're gonna get some bad bounces and things like that, and then they're gonna drain, because this stuff takes practice. And so the way you play currently, if you're just to flip the ball when the ball gets to the flippers, if you're that kind of player, this stuff will take your game down a notch, but then ultimately it'll take it to a higher level. So, question?
Yeah, I forget what game I was playing out there, but suddenly I'm in what had to be a 10-ball multi-ball. And I went from strategy player to wild man.
That's a big example.
There's nothing you can do with that.
Yeah.
Just flail away and just hope.
In that case, yeah, you'd flail away, try to get whatever you can. And then when you're down to, say, 4 balls, then you start playing more controlled. Now, I don't really cover multi-ball strategy, the flipper skills and everything in this, but there are some, and there's actually there's a few great resources. Those Bowen Karen's videos I mentioned have some excellent footage of, like, when he has both balls on the same flipper, he'll pop one up and have it come down, bounce off the other ball, off the flipper, and then over to the other side. That's called a cradle separation. Or another way to do it is you pop one ball up and then let the other ball roll down, take that shot, then catch the first ball that was in the air. So it's kind of like a juggling kind of thing. So there's so he covers a lot of that stuff in his videos. I would definitely check that out. And then Pinball 101, which is made by Randy and Keith Elwin. It's a DVD, and it covers a lot of that stuff too. It's a really great video. Definitely check that out. Any other questions?
You play like Roger Sharp? Put your leg way up and play.
I don't, but but yeah, and well, actually, Rick Stetta is kind of he's really known for that. He sometimes even gets down on his knees, and, you know, when he gets really into it and all that. I can't say whether that helps or hurts, but I don't know. Yeah.
About nudging, the quote on the slide there said, "Pushing the machine away from the direction the ball is going. You're hitting the sling."
No. Oh, I know what you're talking about. On a game with a really loose tilt, I can't demonstrate it on this one because it does have a tilt. But, so on a game with a really loose tilt that you can actually slide, if the ball is coming down or if the sling is weak, you know, this is a pretty sensitive, you know, it's gonna fire if the ball just touches it. But if it's coming down, it's kind of a weak sling, kind of a lazy sling, or the game has a real loose tilt, you can slide the game as it's coming. It's kind of like a catch. And you can slide the game away, and then the sling won't fire. And then the ball will just come down, and you catch it. I see that a lot. You don't see it at all in a tournament. I've never seen that in a tournament, but because the tilts are just way too tight, and the slings are usually dialed in. But you see it a lot in location play. So, any other questions?
When would you do a forward nudge?
Forward nudge? That, like I said, it's when you when the ball's heading for the out lanes.
Is it after the ball hits the top of the sling, or is it just before?
No, it's like you're batting it away. It's like the moment it impacts, smack it away.
The ball in the sling, basically, right?
Right, exactly. Exactly. It's almost like you're trying to slap the or bat the ball away with the top of the sling is the way to think of it. Any more questions?
Where do you buy the DVDs? Are they for sale here?
Sure.
There are some.
I'm sure there are a couple of them.
Marco.
Where is that? At the table?
Yeah. You can also, on YouTube, if you search for Pinball 101, there's a quote-unquote unlimited rental. So you pay the rental fee and you can go back and watch it as many times as you want. And that version is in HD. So if you have you need a kind of a fairly fast computer, Core 2 Duo or better, to play full HD. That's, I think, $9, and you can watch it as many times as you want. So that's another good. Oh, yeah, you can get it for your iPhone, and it's like $2 on your iPhone. I don't think it's as good because the screen is, it's much smaller, but that's another way to do it. Any other questions? All right, well, thank you very much. I appreciate everyone coming out. Before everyone leaves, we have some of the local league players. If you'd like to pair up with them and go back out to the main hall for about a half hour and work on some of this stuff, you can do so. So we have Walter, Dylan, Keith, Chris, and Jim over there from EBPL and BAPA. So I guess
Kevin's here somewhere. But
Kevin, yeah, he's probably drinking a beer in the hall. So they'll be like right outside. So if you want to pair up with them, great. Otherwise, go out and have fun, play some pinball. Thank you.